glad to be in the house of the Lord together.
I'm glad to be a child of God. I'm glad to know that Christ came to save us from our sins. And because of that, we have right to the tree of life. We have right to be restored in our relationship with God. What sin does is it separates us from God. And so what God did is he was able to, by the sending of his son, he was able to restore our relationship with God, whereby we can have salvation.
Yes.
We can have deliverance.
Yes.
And we can walk in what's called newness of life. Praise yes. God this morning.
Amen.
We don't have to walk in the old ways,
yes.
but we can be delivered from sin, and we can walk in newness of life.
Yes.
All right? And so what we're going to talk about this morning is for you and for me. When Christ died upon the cross, he did it for you and he did it for me. When he lived a life free from sin, the Bible says he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth.
Yes.
He did it for you and for me.
Yes.
All right, he wanted to prove that it could be done by the grace and help of God.
Yes.
The enemy wants to hinder that message today. He doesn't want you to believe that you and I can live free from sin, but Jesus Christ did it, and we can do it by the grace and help of God.
Yes.
Christ in us gives us the ability to overcome sin.
Yes.
Christ in us gives us the ability to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so this morning, we're going to talk about what Christ came to do and what he did and what that signifies for us today. Today is Easter Sunday, and not only did Christ live but he endure all the sufferings of life, but he was crucified.
Yes.
This is not a fictional account.
Right.
Just like you and I are in each other's presence today, this really happened.
Amen.
Christ lived. He was born of a Virgin Mary.
Yes.
Gotta believe that.
Amen.
He came
Amen.
Down from heaven. Must believe that. He lived a life free from sin. Got to believe that. He died. He was crucified. And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave.
Amen.
Praise God. God is real. God is true. And he's living and dwelling in us if we will have him today. May God help us this morning. Easter is not a fictional account. It's not about bunnies. It's not about bunnies that lay eggs. Bunnies, by the way, don't lay eggs.
Amen.
Do you understand? So don't allow the enemy to steal from you what God has given us.
Yes.
Easter is about Christ Jesus living and dying and conquering
Amen.
Sin and death and hell and the grave. And by him, we have right to the tree of life. By him, we have strength to live in this life free from sin, and at the end of this life, we can make heaven our home. Pray God this morning. Devil doesn't want this message this morning. Seems like every message I preach nowadays, he just don't like it. That's just too bad. We're going to heaven anyway. We're going to heaven anyhow by the grace and help of God. And we're going to do the will of the Lord. So y'all be praying for me. I thought about a song that I heard, and I don't have the words of the song. I know some of them, but this is something that I heard growing up. And it was sung by Brother Carnell and Brother Hayward and Brother Bradford and a few others. But it was it has some words in it. It says, though I was not there, yet I believe that my Lord was crucified, his great heart was grieved. And the second portion I don't have very good, but the chorus said, humbling in victory over sin and the grave,
right.
He raised his sad eyes to God, and to him he said, O Lord, if it be thy will, O save thou me, but if I must die for sin, then so let it be. And so this is what Christ did for us this morning. So I want us to be thinking about what Christ did for us this morning. Easter is not, like I said, about bunnies or eggs. I have no problem with children eating candy. Matter of fact, I've been guilty of giving them lots of candy on occasion. I have no problem for that. I don't have any problem with the shape of the candy. I don't have any of that. But let's not allow the enemy. What he wants to do is he wants to come in and steal the real meaning of what Easter is all about. If you'll notice that Easter is now about bunnies and eggs. Christmas, you took the Christmas out of it and you put an X in it. You understand what I'm saying? He wants to steal that. He wants to water down the truth of God's word. But this morning we're here to worship God and to think about and remember and to enjoy the fact that Christ died for us. He conquered sin and hell in the grave, and he is risen, and he is risen right now on the right hand of God. Praise God this morning. All right, so Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. The Bible says that all have, and the key word in that verse is have, H-A-D-E. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes. That means we have sinned. That doesn't mean that we have to live in sin more or less every day. So we're going to debunk that this morning.
Amen.
All right? Christ died. He came from heaven. He died on a cruel cross. He lived a life free from sin. And so we, you and I, can do the same by the grace and help of God. Because Christ in us gives us that power.
Amen.
So all have sinned, but that doesn't mean that we have to continue in sin.
Amen.
All right? So let's go ahead and debunk that this morning. Another scripture. Somebody get me John 3 and 16 and 17. I'm going to quote it. If I get it wrong, then you correct me, all right? It said, God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse number 17 is very important. It said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
And so, what that means is, when God came down here, he came with a reason and a purpose. But I want us to understand that Jesus Christ had a will. Alright? I want you to understand that this morning. Jesus Christ at any time could have refused what the Father was asking him to do.
Right.
If that's not true, then why did he have to go to the Garden of Gethsemane?
Right.
Alright? Because he had a will in the matter. If all the things that happened to Jesus Christ, it hurt him. It injured him. He felt the same things that we feel. And so he had to overcome his feelings. He had to humble himself even to the death of the cross. They couldn't have crucified him unless he let them do it. All
right?
And so sometimes in our minds, what we think is that he's Jesus Christ. So of course he was going to do that. That's what he came to do. And that is true. But he had a will in the matter. And he had to surrender his will to God's will, and we'll have to do the same if we're going to make his heaven. May God help us this morning. The other thing I want us to be very aware of is that it says God sent out his Son to condemn the world. All right? He came, his whole purpose and aim and desire was to save. God has always been solution-based. He doesn't spend a whole lot of time on the problem. Because what he does, he says, what's going to fix this thing? All right? And so what ended up happening was is that we fell short of the glory of God. We disobeyed God. And so what he saw was there was a rift between us and him. All right? There was a lack of closeness. We needed him in us to help us to fight what we need to fight in terms of what we're faced with in this world.
Yeah.
Lord, help us. And so what he did is, he said, I see this rift, and I don't like this rift. And so I want to do something about it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send my Son to die on a cruel cross, to be mocked, to be scourged, to be mistreated, to be selected to die for the sins of mankind.
Yeah.
And so what he did is he did that. He asked his Son, will you go and will you do this? And Jesus said, I will do it.
Yeah.
I will do it.
Yeah.
All right? And he did it for you and for me.
Amen.
All right? And so it wasn't the condemnation that God is about.
Right.
God is not about condemning you. If you're wrong, you probably already know you are wrong. You don't need God to tell you that.
Right.
What you need to focus on, like Jesus did, like God did, is what is going to fix this problem.
Amen.
May God help us this morning. God has something for us this morning. He wants to talk to us this morning. Let him talk to you. May God help us this morning. All right, I want to read on in another area. I want us to understand before we go there that belief, what you believe, is very important. If you do not believe that Christ died for you and for me, You can't receive salvation.
That's right.
The Bible says without faith, it is impossible. It's impossible to please God.
Yes.
He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes.
And so what we need to understand is that if by part and not by all, we make his word a lie.
Yes.
All right? And so we have to believe every word of God. May God help us this morning. The Bible says when Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil after 40 days of fasting, one of the answers that he gave is that man shall not live by bread alone, but how many words?
Every word.
But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so you and I have to believe. What the enemy does is he is working on your belief right now today. He's been working on what you believe as a child and all the way up. Sometimes we see people that profess to be saved, but what the way that they act is a little bit confusing.
Right.
And so the devil says to us, he whispers in our ear, do you see that? Do you see how that person acted? And listen, you and I don't have the ability to judge that person. We don't know where they're at with God. That's between them and God. But what we do have to do is be aware of the enemy is trying to place doubt. He's trying to place a spirit of unbelief in you and in me. Not just unbelief, but a spirit of unbelief. Why? Because he knows that you can't get to God if you don't believe. All right? And so we have to believe that all of these things have happened and it was for you and for me.
Yes.
It's hard to believe if you don't believe in God that Jesus Christ died and 3 days later he rose. It's hard to believe that. But you can believe it through the Spirit because God's Spirit dwells and lives in you. And you know that he's alive. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God this morning. All right, and so that's what God has for us this morning. We want to learn about what Christ did for us. We want to be reminded about what he did for us. And most importantly, we want to believe, if we're not believing unto salvation, we want to believe unto salvation.
Yes.
All right, not just in here,
right,
but in here.
Yes.
All right, believe it there, and that's where it takes effect, and it has its power. All right, let's read a little bit down in Matthew 27, 22 through 35. If you say you know all these things, well, that's really good, and I'm happy that you do. But I want us to understand that the Word of God says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you what? If you do them. It's not enough to know. You got to know it in your head. You got to know it in your heart. And you got to put those things together with the will that God gave you, the will that he will not violate, the will that he will not override. You have to believe it with that will and then put it into motion. All right? The Bible says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. So it's not enough for me to walk around and talk about how much I love Jesus.
Right.
It's good to do it if I really do.
Right.
But it's got to be in here. All
right?
God is not concerned with or worried about the words that you say if they do not agree with what's going on in your heart.
Amen.
All right? So we need to believe unto salvation to where it changes us, to where we let him change us.
Right.
If I don't have salvation, if I believe, I will be seeking salvation by the grace and help of God. And he said, he that cometh to me, he will in no wise cast out. So if I need salvation, God has that for me.
Amen.
If I don't believe that I can live saved, I encourage you this morning, why don't you try it? Why don't you try it? I didn't believe it either. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
But when he saved me, he taught me that he's not only mighty to save, but he's mighty to keep. Grace like the ocean, boundless indeed.
Yeah.
All right? So God has grace for us,
yeah,
and he helps us to live this holy life. We don't do it alone. He helps us. He lives in us and through us, and he helps us to do right, because I couldn't do it right now by myself. And that's the God's honest truth. May God help us this morning.
Amen.
We're here talking about the crucifixion. We need to understand that if he wasn't crucified, then he couldn't be buried. If he wasn't buried, then he couldn't rise again.
Amen.
If he didn't rise again, then all of this, none of us have any hope.
That's right.
All right? None of us have any hope. All right? And so, therefore, let's look at what he did for you and for me. Read Matthew. We're going to go to chapter 27. We're going to start at verse number 22, and we'll read down a little, and we'll talk a little bit about it by the help of the Lord. All right.
What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?
Uh-huh.
Say also as you can, let him be crucified.
All right, read down.
And another said,
all right.
Why what evil has he done?
Right.
But they cried out the Lord, saying, let him be crucified.
Lord help.
When Pilate saw that he was to prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made,
yes.
He took water and washed his hands before the multitude.
Yes. Pause for me, please. Pause for me, please. I thank you for your reading. Let's get a hold of this morning. We're talking about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
What was he on trial for? What had he done wrong? Did you notice that in that second verse that she read, Pilate said, what did he do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
Right.
Did you notice that in the third verse that she read,
yes.
It said that he's going to wash his hand. Do you know that sometimes what we're trying to do as people is wash our hands? Of the matter? You know that you can't wash your hands? Do you know that you are going to make a decision whether you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or not before you leave here? Do you know that you're going to stand with those that crucified him, or you're going to stand with those that stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to be a friend to him?
Yes.
You can't wash your hands of this matter.
Right.
You cannot become non-committal. You have to make a choice as to whether or not you believe, and if you truly believe, you're going to do something about it before you leave here. May God help us this morning. You understand? And so what they said is, they said, crucify him. And that's what they're doing now and today. If you look at the media, they're crucifying him afresh. They're trying to. The truth of God's word is being destroyed. Do you remember, if you're old enough, if you're old as I am, that prayer was said in school? Remember that? Do you remember that when people actually respected the people of God, people that were living right, they had a respect and a reverence for them. But now all of that is being done away with, isn't it? The very foundation of truth, even Easter itself, people are they don't know any better, some of them. And those that do, they've been tricked, they've been deluded, and they've taken the truth of God's word and they have perverted it. You understand? But we have to make a choice, you and I. Are we going to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, or are we going to bow to what the world is selling, to what the enemy is selling? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We've got to make that kind of choice if we're going to make heaven our home. All right? I am more than concerned. I'm more than burdened. I don't know what you want to call it, but deep down in my soul, I understand that if I don't make this choice and get it right, if you don't make this choice and get it right, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the truth of it. I'm not here to scare you.
No.
It's just the truth.
That's right.
All right? So we have to decide what we're going to do for Jesus. We're seeing what he did for us. He's on trial, and he did nothing. He did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. If you were sick, he healed you. Matter of fact, he raised several folks from the dead. If you had spirit, he would talk to the spirit and make them come out.
Amen.
One man had over 1,000 spirits, and he told those spirits, come out, and they came out, jumped into some pigs, and the pigs ran off and drowned himself in the water.
Yes.
So what is he on trial for? My Lord and my God. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Who are you going to stand with?
Oh, Lord.
He did it for you and for me.
Yes.
How shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's read a little bit more and see what he did for you and for me.
And then, verse 25, then entered all the people and said, his blood be on us.
Oh, Lord.
And on our children.
All right.
They released him forever.
All right.
And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified.
Yes. Keep going.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall.
Yes. All right.
And they stripped him.
They stripped him. Scarlet robe.
And when they had platted
a crown of thorns, put it on his head. Lord, help us. Yes? All right, pause there for us, please. They wanted Jesus Christ, they wanted the truth of God's word to be destroyed so badly. Did you notice what they said? What they say? Let his blood not only be on us. What did the kids have to do? Let me put it on me. I don't want it on me. Let his blood be on us and on our children. That's what they said. Do you know that there was a man named Barabbas? And he was up and he had done wrong. And he was supposed to be crucified. Do you know that they chose Jesus Christ to be crucified over Barabbas and they let Barabbas go free? May God help us. Are you getting all of this? You know what scourging means? It's beyond a beating. All right? There's a whip that's about 18 inches long, and then these leather straps come out from the whip, about 9 of them. That's where you get the term cat of 9 tails. That's where you get that term. I know it's a plant as well, but that term is related to this. At the end of these leather straps, there are pieces of bone in those straps. And so when the soldiers whipped him, that's what they whipped him with. They had one on one side and one on the other. And so one would whip him and the bones would stick into the flesh. And they would pull the blood, they would pull the skin away from the bone. You understand? This was a punishment reserved for non-Jews. You understand? All right? And so they had one on one side and they had one on the other.
Right.
All right? This is what scourging means for you and for me.
Right.
Behold what love,
yes.
What love divine
yes.
The Father showed to me.
Right.
And that he gave his only son, the blood is all for me. Such love cannot be fathomed. It's like a boundless sea. His broken heart was wounded. It's wounded now for me. The rejection of being chosen to be done in when you've done nothing wrong is almost harder than all of the physical abuse that he takes. When you love somebody and you're doing all that you can for them, and yet they reject you, they refuse you, they mistreat you, these things, I want you to understand, they hurt the heart of Jesus.
Yes.
He was not oblivious to this. It was not like he didn't feel it. He felt every bit of it and even more for you and for me. Okay? So they scourged him. What's the next thing they did to him?
They stripped him and they put on a scarlet robe.
All right. They delivered him to be crucified. They stripped him and they put on a scarlet robe. Do you know what they were doing at this point?
Humiliation.
They were trying to humiliate him. They took his clothes from him. One of the most humiliating things you can do to a human being is take from them something that is theirs, much less their clothes. All right. We wear clothes for a reason. We want to be covered up. We don't want to be humiliated. But they forcefully took it from him.
Right.
And then they gave him a robe. Because remember, he was supposed to be the king. And he is the king.
Yeah.
But what they were doing was trying to mock him. And trying to make fun of him.
Right.
They said, "Hail to the King of the Jews." All right? And so they're saying, this man, he's nobody. Look at what we're doing to him. We're beating him up. We're laughing at him up. We're forcing him to do things that he doesn't want to do. And now we're going to put this robe upon him and we're going to mock him and make him feel real small, humiliate him. For you and for me.
Amen.
For you and for me. What I don't want to do is go too far in this because I have other sections to get to. What I've learned is by going through these studies is that this should be a series. And Lord willing, we're going to do this going forward, maybe next year, around this time, if it be the Lord's will. But I want us to understand that you as a human being, let alone a Christian, you need to read these accounts.
Amen.
And you need to understand what Jesus Christ went through for you and for me.
Yes.
I'm not talking, they spat on him. They put a cross on his shoulders and made him carry it until he could carry it no more.
Right.
They beat him about the head. They punched him with their fists.
Right.
This is all before they put him on the cross.
Right.
All right? When it said they crucified him, what crucifying means is after all of these abuses that he took,
right,
what that means is they will nail you to a cross by your hands and your feet. So they cross your feet, and they put your hands to the right and to the left, and they take these long nails, and they drive them through your hands and your feet. That's what it did to him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. These thorns were said to be at least 6 inches, and they pushed them down upon his head, making fun of him in one sense, and on the other, the head is very vascular. You get a cut on your face, it'll bleed a lot. So he's bleeding down into his face and onto his body.
Right.
All right? And when he was thirsty, they gave him vinegar and gall. Gall is bile. Bile that's in your stomach, used to break down food. It is known to be excessively bitter, let alone vinegar. That's what they gave for him to drink, for you and for me. For you and for me.
Yes.
This is what Jesus Christ went through.
Yes.
And he went through all of this because he wanted to please God.
Yes.
He went through all of this because he loves you.
Yes.
Jesus Christ loves you.
Yes.
And he wanted to save us.
Yes.
And we needed a Savior. We couldn't save ourselves.
That's right.
May God help us this morning. And so he was crucified. He was crucified for you and for me. Jesus Christ was killed for you and for me. Now, what will you do with Jesus?
Yes. Yes.
Think about this. Would you go through this for anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Would you go through it if you had done something wrong? And would you go through it if you had not? We don't want people to accuse us of things that we didn't do.
Right.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
This is what Jesus did for you and for me.
Amen.
This is what Easter is about.
Yes.
Okay? We need to know about this.
Yes.
We need to be aware of this. Okay? So, I want us to understand there's some reading that you need to do. If you don't get to all of this, try to read the entirety of this by the help of the Lord. When he died, there's some things that happened that showed his power.
Right.
The lights went out. There were some other things that went on. This is all of this happened. And you need to be aware of that. But we're going to go over to the burial portion of what Jesus did for you and for me. I want us to go to Matthew 27. We're going to read from verse number 58 to verse number 66. What I'm doing is I'm attempting. When I was reading these things, I was in tears. I've been in tears for days now about this. There's a song that says, "Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, but thine for?"
Right.
The answer I may never know.
Yes.
Why he ever loved me so, but to an old rugged cross would go. Who am I?
Yes.
I'm nobody.
Right.
I don't deserve any of this.
Yes.
All that he went through for you and for me, I don't deserve not one of those things. But he sees me as deserving. Those that were crucifying him and mistreating him, those that put him on the cross, he was dying for them too.
Amen.
Those, the one that betrayed him, he died for him too.
Right.
He died for you and for me because he loves us.
Amen.
And he wanted to do the will of the Father.
Amen.
Are we willing to accept his great love?
Yes.
We need a salvation.
Yes.
We need him right now today. May God help us. Matthew 27 and 58, go ahead and read, would you please?
He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus.
All right, so Jesus had already died.
Then Pilate commanded the body, the body to be delivered.
All right.
And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth.
All right.
And he laid it in his own new tomb.
Okay.
Which he had hewn out in the rock.
All right.
And he rolled a great stone to the door.
All right. Yes.
And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre.
Yes.
Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation,
all right,
the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate.
Yes.
Saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again.
All right.
Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day.
All right.
Let his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead.
All right.
Though the last error shall be the worse than the first."
All right.
Pilate said unto them,
"Yes.
Yet ye have a watch.
All right.
Go your way and make it as sure as you can."
Yes.
So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch.
All right. So Jesus Christ died on the cross. They took him down and they had the body. And a man named Joseph of Arimathea, he asked for the body of Jesus to give it a burial.
Yeah.
He took that body, he cleaned it, and he wrapped it.
Yeah.
And he already had a tomb. And so he took it to that tomb, and he laid Jesus in that tomb, and Jesus was buried there. Now 3 days later, we're going to see in a little while, he actually arose from the dead. But what we want to focus on now is something that is still common today. People will tell you, you get on the internet and they'll say that somebody came. Now, how in the world, thousands of years ago, when this happened and when this was written, how did they know that even people today will say that somebody came and took the body away?
Right.
How would that even be? You understand? It's in here. It's in here. You can find it. From the time that Jesus died until now, people are still trying to say that he didn't rise again. He was placed in a tomb. The tomb was sealed because the soldiers came and said, "Listen, they're going to come and steal the body away. And so what we're going to do is we're going to set an around-the-clock watch. We're going to put some soldiers there. We're going to seal this great tomb. We're going to put a great stone upon it, and nobody's going to be able to move that stone. And so therefore, they're not going to be able to steal the body of Jesus away and then say that he was resurrected." That same spirit is prevalent today.
Amen.
Every spirit, every theology, ideology that is against the Word of God, it is based somewhere in that spirit. And I encourage you today,
yes,
to ask the Lord to help you if you struggle with believing any of this. Say, "Lord, I need you to help me to believe."
Yes.
There's a scripture in the Bible that says, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief."
Yes.
All right? Because what we need as Christians, especially in these days and times, when the very foundations are being attacked of the truth of God's word, we need to believe deep down in our hearts that God's word is true. All right, the stone was placed over the tomb was sealed, the watch was there, and let's see what happened. Jesus was buried, and then 3 days later, let's see what happened. I'm not sure, but I think something great happened. May God help us this morning. Matthew 28 and 1, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here, and let's talk about it. All right, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week. So we realize that he was crucified on what day? On Good Friday, 3 days before. And so that's all true as well? Okay. Well, so let's look at it. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Want us to understand that Mary and the other Mary witnessed one of the greatest events that ever happened in the history of humankind. When Jesus Christ arose, that signified something.
Yes.
I understand? He conquered. Remember, he lived a sin-free life.
Yes.
So he won there. And then he was crucified by the will of God for our sins, for you and for me.
Yes.
And so he became sin. Sin was placed upon his shoulders so that you and I don't have to pay the penalty of sin. All right? And so when we pray to God and we ask him to forgive us, and then he cleanses us from all sin, and he casts those sins into the sea of forgetfulness, they are not charged to us anymore. And not only that, once he's done that, he's asking us and he helps us to live a sin-free life by the grace and help of God. God has that for us. So he conquered sin on the cross. All right, because sin was crucified.
Yeah.
All right, and then he was buried. He conquered the grave when he was buried.
Yeah.
All right, so when he went and was buried, when he came and rose again, like we'll read in a few minutes here, he conquered everything that needed to be conquered.
Yeah.
Anything that you and I are going to face in this life, in the future, and in the life to come,
yeah,
Jesus Christ conquered it.
Yeah.
May God help us this morning.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about that this morning. That means that if I got something about me that I need the Lord to change, he can change it. If I need salvation from sin, from a spirit, from the devil, from the world, from whatever it might be, he can do it. May God help us. He did it on the cross. He did it for you and for me. And I'm a witness of that this morning. May God help us this morning. He did it. He did it. He did. And so you and I don't have to be afraid of the devil. We don't have to be afraid at night. I used to pray the same prayer. I know the prayer you pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to save. We don't have to do that every night no more. I was saved when I woke up this morning, and by the grace and help of God, I'm going to be saved tonight and through the night and on into tomorrow. Because he's mighty to save, and he's mighty to keep, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. I don't have to be afraid of any of that. Huh? I don't have to be afraid of it. When I die, he'll be with me. He's with me now. He's going to take me through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to fear any evil. All right? Because he's been there already. He knows the way. He's got me. May God help us this morning. Praise God. And so it says here in chapter 28 of Matthew, earthquake came. I want us to understand that when the stone was removed, it was not removed for them. They knew he was risen. It was removed for you and for me, for those that would gainsay the truth of God's word. Well, then you have people that say, well, maybe the stone was removed and he wasn't in there. Maybe they took it away and then put it back. I don't know. But let's read on. Because there were some people, a whole bunch of people, that saw him before he was translated.
Right.
All right? It's all in here. It's all truth. The question is, do you believe that he did it? Do you believe that he did it for you and for me?
Yes.
Does it apply to you personally and what you're going to do with it?
Right.
May God help us this morning. So he removed the stone. These angels removed the stone from the door, and they sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning. His raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. So these people fainted. They were afraid. They had so much fear, they fainted. Listen, if there was duty to go and watch the tomb of Jesus, that day, if I was a soldier, I would have pulled a hammer. I'm not going. I'm not going. I saw all the other things.
Right.
I saw what you did to him.
Yeah.
I also heard about what he did when he was living here.
Right.
And then when he died, I seen the earth shake and the lights turn out. I seen the temple rent. I seen all of these things. I'm pulling the hammy. Something wrong with me. I ain't going to be able to go. I'm not going. All right?
Amen.
And so, Here it is. The angel answered and said unto the woman, this verse number five, they passed out. But you notice that the men, the big bad soldiers, they passed out, but the women didn't. Why? Because they believe in God. The Bible said that when he come back, there's going to be some that's going to be looking for rocks and mountains to hide them from his face. That's what they said. But those that are living for the Lord, that are Christians, true Christians, they're going to be saying, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Come on. We've been waiting on you.
Amen.
You see? And so you need to get, if you're not in that number, get in that number.
Amen.
Where when he comes, you're not afraid. When he comes, you're not fainting and falling all out. But you're saying, come on, Lord. We've been waiting on you for a long time.
Amen.
And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake, became as dead men. The angel answered, said unto the women, fear not, for ye. All right, devil, get up off me, devil, and let's keep going. All right, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. What does it say? This is what it's all about right here. This is Easter right here. Verse number 6. Read that, please.
He is not here,
for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. All right, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run and to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. So these are the first witnesses of Jesus Christ, the first two. Not only did they see the tomb that was open, they saw the angel, and then they saw Jesus. They were on the way to do the work of the Lord and go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is risen. The victory is here and now. Thank God. All right, and then it says here, verse number 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and they shall see me. And so he told them to get the disciples that were remaining and go into Galilee, because he's going to come and see them.
Yeah.
All right? This happened. All of this happened.
Yeah.
All right? You have to believe it, and it'll work for you too. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief. Y'all listen to this.
Yeah.
Y'all listen to this. The devil won't quit. He just won't quit. You try to steal the tomb, you kill him, you did all this mess,
right.
and you still can't stop him. Jesus Christ is unstoppable. All right.
Amen.
Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch. Remember, the watch were the ones that were watching the tomb. So I guess they came too. Came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave them large money unto the soldiers. Why did they give them money, I wonder? Gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Listen, they might can say it, but they know they was fainted off on the ground somewhere. They know they saw that angel.
Right.
They knew the truth.
Amen.
I want y'all to know that they did this. They said it. They went, they took the money and they said it, and people are doing that now today.
Right.
Sometimes what we'll do is we will trade worldly possession, material goods for the truth of God's word. Listen, this it's not worth it.
Amen.
Do y'all know what happened to what happened to Judas? Judas betrayed him, right?
Yeah.
Kissed him on the cheek, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus knew he was going to betray him and did it anyway.
Yeah.
Still went to the cross, still went through all of that, right? What happened to Judas? He took his own life.
Right.
Yeah.
What a loss.
Right.
You walked with Jesus.
Right.
You were his disciple. You've seen all the great works. But for this money that they gave you, you took an alternate route and you don't get to spend any of it. Ain't no money in hell.
Right.
Amen.
Ain't no, I don't care what it is you want. This stuff of this life is temporary at best.
Right.
Don't trade the truth of God's word for what the devil offers you.
Right.
Stick with the word of God.
Yes.
Live for him, die for him, and get the real blessing.
Yes.
May God help us this morning. I'm almost done. I appreciate your time and your attention. All right, so they gave him the money. They told him to say what they was going to say. And of course, they took the money and they did it. All right, and we're picking up in verse number 16. So it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed him. Remember, he told them to go to Galilee. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And in another account, there's a man named Doubting Thomas. He was a disciple, but he was by nature a doubtful person. He didn't believe. He believed too. So belief has the ability to have different levels of belief.
Amen.
You can believe a little bit, or you can believe a lot, or you can believe all the way. And so Thomas struggled with that. And sometimes we as Christians, we struggle with belief.
Yeah,
Lord, is this you? Is this what you want me to do? Are you sure this is what you're asking me to do? Lord, help me to believe.
Yes.
And what Thomas wanted to believe, what he said was he wasn't going to believe it until he saw the nail-scarred hands and he put his fingers in the holes.
Right.
And in another account, that's exactly what happened. Thomas was able to do that. He was able to see that. And so God blessed him to be able to really believe, I believe, from that point forward. All right, and they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered the world. He conquered anything that you might struggle with. He conquered it by the grace and help of God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, 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 even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to encourage you this morning. You don't know the Lord like this. You don't quite believe it. I want to encourage God. What God has been doing, he's been shaking up the world. Even in all this time, with all this foolishness going on, with all these evil influences and spirits and all the principalities and all that stuff, God is still dealing with the souls, the minds, and the hearts of the people. The Holy Spirit is here now. He's dealing with people right now. My encouragement to you this morning is to come and allow the Lord to continue to deal with you. Let him save you. Let him keep you. Let him take you to God's heaven. He's truly worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of our service. It's our reasonable service. What he went through for us, we do not deserve. And so I want us to understand, this is what Easter is about. And if we're going to celebrate Easter, let's celebrate it not only today, but let's celebrate it on a daily basis.
Amen.
Let's remember what God did for us.
Amen.
And let it help us, cause us to live for him till we die. I appreciate your time and your attention and your prayers for us. It is my goal and my aim and desire to please the Lord.
Amen.
I want to be a child of God. When I'm coming, if I die from here and he sees my spirit, I want him to look at me with favor. I want him to say, I'm not only pleased, but well pleased. I got a ways to go. I got a ways to go on the well pleased part. I believe he's pleased with me, but I want him to be well pleased with me. All right? And so y'all be praying for me. And what I want you to do is I want you to know that I'm praying for you. We, this church, is praying for you. We might not know you, but we know you in the spirit. We want you to make heaven your home. We don't want you to be lost. And so we ask that you would pray for us as we pray for you. I appreciate your time and your attention and your love and your prayers for me. I want to make heaven my home. I want you to make it too. Pray for me.
Amen. Amen.